the book of Judges, the sixth chapter of the book of Judges. Verse number 1, chapter 6. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, and they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come into Gaza, and left no substance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppress you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Let's pray. Father, again, I'm so thankful for the Holy Scriptures. I'm so grateful, Lord, that you have put these wonderful accounts of your people and how you handled things and how your displeasure was upon those who turned away from you, certainly as a warning to all of us. And yet I'm also thankful that you are the true and the living God, and you love us and care for us, and I'm so thankful for that. You cared enough for us to send the Lord Jesus Christ to die upon the cross, thy only begotten Son, that, Lord, that we might have eternal life. And I thank you for it. I ask your blessings upon this time together tonight. And, Lord, bless your word and help this preacher in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Right after the scripture that I just read to you, we find God calling Gideon to be used of God to deliver once again the Israelites from bondage. Gideon, supposedly, if you look at it in the scripture, appears upon the scene all at once and is really what we might refer to as really as far as a nobody. Didn't have any big high office or anything like that. And yet Gideon was used of God to stand alone against the worship of Baal. He tore down the idols and replaced it with an altar unto the Lord. And in fact, that altar that was there was on his dad's property. This would have been a very hard and difficult thing for him to do. We find in the story of Gideon that 300 people defeated 135,000 Midianites. That's quite off balance there a little bit, but that shows you the power of God. God enjoys doing things like that so that he gets the credit and the honor for all that he does. Now, we're not going to go into Gideon's life a whole lot tonight, but we're going to try to learn some of the principles that are here in this portion of Scripture. There are some tremendous principles, precepts of God's Word right here in those 10 verses that I read to you that, I don't suppose we will get to all of them tonight, but they're tremendous principles, and they will help us if we'll just listen to them. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, mentions Gideon, and yet if we would go into Gideon's life, we would find out that we don't know a whole lot about him after this account in the Scriptures, but what we do know about him was not a very glorious account. But yet God used Gideon in a mighty way here to defeat the Midianites and, of course, to bring them out of captivity, Israel out of captivity from the Midianites. Now, the reason that Israel needed to be delivered is once again, and I'm amazed at the many times in the scripture, I'm so amazed how that over and over and over Israel departed from their God. I still cannot get over this because in many, many stories that you read throughout the scriptures, you read it over and over again how they departed from their God. And so we find here that Israel needed to be delivered because God himself had placed them in the hand of the Midianites. Now over in Judges, and just keep your place there in chapter 6, please, but I want to show you a verse of scripture in the 21st chapter of the book of Judges, 21st chapter, and in fact, we will look at verse number 25, the very last verse in chapter 21. Last verse, verse 25, it says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." And I'm sure you've had preaching, you've heard preaching. I've preached messages concerning this very account of what was going on in the days of the judges. They did not have a king. God would raise up judges and deliver them. And as soon as they was delivered and the judge died, they would go right back into their idol worship. And once again, they would have to be delivered. And God would raise up another judge and would deliver them. And the process just went on and on and on. And God said the reason there is that there was no king in Israel, and every man just did that which was right in their own eyes. This is one of the danger areas. We're not going to spend a lot of time on this. We've dealt with it before. But that is very dangerous when men do that which is right in their own eyes. There was no king. Now, I might say to you, we have today, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the King of Kings, and he is God. But let me say to you, he has left us his word. And it is not right for us to do that which is right in our own eyes. We are to take the scripture and follow the scripture. If you know, if you've been around, I've been saved for quite a while and you've understood this, you know that this is our guidebook. Amen? I mean, it's more than that, but it's our guidebook. It's what we're supposed to go by. It is God-breathed. Every word in it, every jot and tittle in it is absolutely true. There's not a falsehood in it. And we must remember that. It is supreme, absolute. And that's what America and the nations of the world today are missing, is absolutes. Humanism will tell you there is no absolutes. They don't want something to control us. They want to do that which is right in their own eyes. But this word is absolute truth. And we can depend upon it. So what was going on in Israel here in the time of the judges was simply a group of people deciding to do whatever they wanted to do, whatever come around that suited them, that pleased them, instead of listening unto the word of God. So they needed delivered because God would then place them into bondage under one of their enemies. And so here again we find where they needed delivered. Now I'm going to go back again, but go to keep your place in Judges. They're the sixth chapter, but go to Judges the second chapter. I don't know how much of this we're going to read, but the second chapter of Judges. And we want to start reading at verse number 8. "And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaish. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam." Joshua, the man of God that was used by God to lead his people, God's people, into the promised land, came to the place where it was time for him to die. And God took him home. And those that was under the ministry of Joshua were a group of people who understood and knew what God had done for them. They had seen it with their eyes. They understood this. They knew this. But after that, there become a generation that rose up that not only did not know God, but not know the works of God. And that's what we're told in this scripture. Now, that is one of my greatest fears, and I'm afraid that it is happening in America. But this preacher bears a very heavy burden most of the time, and I searched my ministry, and I watched my ministry very closely, but there is one thing I especially want to do. I do not want to leave the next generation without the truth. It is up to this preacher to preach the truth to this generation. And there is being a generation of people that is raising up that know not God nor the works of God. And that is happening right here in America. I feel a terrific burden to be sure that I teach you the Word of God. And I do everything I can to try to keep you through preaching close to your God. He loves you and He wants you to walk with Him. We found out in our Sunday school class that that is one of the things, two of the things that He wants. He wants us to be close to Him. We're in Jeremiah in our Sunday school. He wants us to be close to Him, and He wants us to be pure and clean. And so this is something, as I've said before, we need very much to stay close to the Lord. It is easy, and we see it in people's lives where people begin to drift away from God. That's where a preacher comes in and begins to preach and cry out and say, don't do it, it's wrong, and to draw you back unto God. That's my responsibility to do that to you as a people. Many people do not want to hear that kind of preaching. They do not want to do that. But that's the kind of preaching you're going to hear at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And not only from your pastor, but from your assistant pastor, because he believes the same thing. We've got to keep this generation going right and doing right. We've got to call them back to God. And that's basically what is needed in this country, as we'll discuss that in a few moments. But what happened here is that generation were gathered unto their fathers. There arose another generation that knew not God nor the works of God. And they didn't remember what God had done for Israel. And it was, and that's something we cannot allow to happen. We need to bring it up to you constantly what God has done for us and how good He is, and preach the scriptures and bring people back unto the Lord. So that was the condition of Israel. That's where they were. And now we're going to find out a couple reasons why they were in this condition. First of all, if you notice, in going back to the sixth chapter of the book of Judges, you'll notice, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them unto the hand of them of Midian 7 years. There is something I want you to mark down. If you don't do it with a pen, mark it down in your brain and in your mind. The reason they went into captivity was because of sin. Now, you've got to understand that. You've got to remember that. All the things that happened to them after that, 7 years of captivity, why? Was because of sin. Now, you've got to understand that. That's what needed to be taken care of. Understand? So it was sin, you see. And that's what he says in the very first verse. They did evil in the sight of God. And so it was because of their sin is why they was in captivity. Matthew Henry said this in one of his commentaries. He said, let all that sin expect to suffer. Let all that sin expect to suffer. And we as a people, we call ourselves the children of God. And yet many times we want to go contrary to the very teachings of the Scripture. And we do things that is absolutely contrary to the Word of God, and we do and allow our children to do things that are contrary to the Word of God. And then we wonder why things don't turn out right. What I'm saying to you is simply this. We've got to get back to the Bible, the Word of God, and we've got to mind it, as I've said probably 1,000 times. In verse number 10 in chapter 6, it says, and I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But ye have not obeyed my voice. You see, Israel was guilty of idolatry, worshiping idols. And that's what it says there. And if you'll notice, there's a very interesting thing that God says in that verse of Scripture. He says, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Ammonites. in whose land you dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. God says, you're my people. You don't have to fear the gods of the Amorites. You need to fear me, God was saying unto them. And he said, but you would not obey my voice. Do you realize what that does to our Heavenly Father when his people begin to fear the Amorites and the enemy more than they fear God? You know, just here this week, some of you probably read the paper on some of this that was happening in the Gamble trial over at Shelburne. You probably read that account that came out in the paper concerning that. I had a man call me the night before that paper come out, and he began to say some things to me. And first of all, I want to tell you who, not his name, but who he is. He claims to be a Christian. He claims to walk with God, and on the other hand, he never attends church. Now, I'm giving you this so you'll understand from whence I'm coming from. And he began to tell me, he said, Pastor Ross, I've known this man for a long time. He said, Pastor Ross, he said, you pastors have got to do something about this. He said, you pastors need to get together and have a meeting and do something about this. And he began to explain to me all of the wickedness that was going on in Shelburne and the people he felt like was involved in all of this and the terrible thing that was going on. And he was saying, you and the pastors have got to do something about this. I listened to him talk approximately for 15 minutes before I hardly said a word. And I listened to him go on and go on and go on. And I said, are you done? He said, yes. And I said, I don't know about you, but I am doing something about it. Well, he said, what are you doing? I said, I'm preaching Christ and the wonderful love of Jesus Christ, who loves people and trying to do everything I can to get them saved. Now, let me tell you a secret. Tonight, if I had announced all over town and in the papers that I was going to preach about occultism, demonology, Satan and his power, we wouldn't have had any of the Wood family present. I'm saying that about the Wood pews. It would have been full because people want to hear these new things, and they want to hear about the enemy more than they want to hear about God Almighty. And he went on and on and on. And let me say to you, if I'd have put out on that same billboard and in the same paper, tonight we're going to preach upon the wonderful love of God through Jesus Christ who died for our sins, they would have never come. Now, we're really going into a terrible time in history. I know this was true back a long time ago. But listen, folks, people are more interested today in the enemy than they are the true God. And as I told him, I am doing something about it. What are you doing? I said, what needs to be done? I said, the reason we're having occultism across this land and here in Shelburne and other places, the reason for that is because of ungodliness. And the reason it is increasing is because that people are turning from God. That's the reason it's increasing. The answer is not to just preach about occultism, and that's all right to expose it. It's all right to talk about it once in a while, but I'm not going to glorify it. I'm going to spend my time telling you the answer for occultism is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died for your sins. And so this man had come to see him. One of these Gamble fellows had come to see him, spent a lot of time together, and they was talking all about this and how terrible all this was. And it was terrible. It was horrible. But he was talking about, he said, you pastors got to get together and do something. I said, I do something every Sunday and every Wednesday. I preach the Word of God. And I finally asked him, where was he? What was he doing? And pretty soon when I got to the end of this, he didn't want to talk to me anymore. He just kind of gruffly said, well, goodbye, and hung up the phone. Now, the problem, folks, is this. If we don't be careful, that's what we want to hear about. The answer is Christ and him crucified and buried and raised again. Now, again, we can expose some of these things. We can talk about some of these things. But that is never going to give man the answer. What these men need is Christ, the Son of God. And so I say to you folks, it's not as he said to them, why are you fearing the Amorites, the God of the Amorites? Why are you doing that? And he's basically saying, you didn't obey my voice because I wanted you to just fear me. Fear God. I want to tell you something. I told him, because he said, man, he said, Pastor, this is scary. When he got done, and I said, it ain't scary to me. I'm serious about it. It isn't scary to me. Not in the fact that I'm going to worry about it as far as what's going to happen. My faith is in God. Do I think it's wrong? Sure it's wrong. Why are these things happening? Because we've turned from God. And we won't turn back to God. And you say, is it going to get worse? Yes, it's going to get worse. You're going to see all kinds of things happen in these neighborhoods and small places and big cities. You're going to see more of it every day you live. Why? Because we've turned from God. We've walked away from God. The answer is God. The answer is Christ, you see. And what I'm saying, I told him, I says, every week, not only do I preach, but I try to get folks saved. That's the answer. You see, they can be exposed to all of these wickedness and they know all about those wicked things, and it ain't going to help them a bit if they don't get saved. Amen? So I'm simply saying, you know, these are terrible times, but the reason it's terrible times is because our nation has turned away from God. And many times the Christians are doing the very same thing. They're not walking with God. Here's a man who claimed that he knew Christ. He claims that. And yet he never attends church. He never goes, sets foot in the house of God. And he claims his Christianity. What I'm simply just saying to you folks, he's part of the problem, not part of the answer. You see, good theology always raises morals. Bad theology always lowers morals. Right teaching of the Word of God will lift up us morally. That's why years ago in this nation we had a moral nation. Now I'm saying to you, I know there was wicked people, always has been. But basically we had a nation that believed in some moral values. Why? Because the Word of God was being taught. And even the unbelievers did not believe in Christ, had not received Christ, had some moral values in their life. Because the teachings of the Word of God. And now what has happened? Well, we've lowered the theology, we've lowered the Word of God to where it doesn't mean anything. And so because of that, the morals are going down or raising back up, whatever you want to put it. You understand what I'm saying? It is always that way. We've got to get back to God. And the answer is Christ, the Son of God, preaching Him, getting people saved. That is the answer. And it's not trying to spend our time out here chasing rabbit tracks. We got to remember the job of the church is to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified and get people saved, get them baptized, get them taught how to get people saved, and just do it over and over again. Now you say, Brother Ross, should we stand up against some of these things? Certainly we should stand up against some of these things, but we ought to keep it in perspective. And remember always to glorify God, you see. When you remove the Word of God from a nation, you've done something very serious. That is going to corrupt this nation. And we have removed the Word of God from many of our institutions, from our public schools, and all of these things, and we expect then for them to do right? You can't remove the Word of God and expect a nation to do right. And that's exactly what Satan knows. He's removed the Word of God from our institutions across this land, and because of that, morals are dropping terribly. You understand? See, what we need to do to bring those morals back up is preach Christ, the Son of God. Preach Him. Let people know He's the answer, you see, for all of their problems. You notice in verse 1 there in chapter 6, it said, then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They might not have done evil in the sight of their fellow man, but they've done evil in the sight of God. That's why we've got to be very careful what we okay. You see, as a nation, as a church, Blessed Hope Baptist Church has got to have some standards we stand on. We've got to have some standards, solid standards that we are going to stand on, and that standard is the Bible, the Word of God. You see, and he says here that is evil in the sight of the Lord. It ain't evil in the eyes of men anymore to do wrong, but it is in the eyes of God. Always has been, always will be. God does not okay sin. Never has, never will. You see, we just got a low look at sin. We don't think sin's very important. It is important, you see, because it's important because God says it is. He's again it, I'm going to tell you. Like a little boy went to Sunday school and came home, and his daddy asked him, he said, what did you learn at Sunday school? And he said, you know, I don't know all the things, but I learned one thing, I learned about sin. And he said, well, what did you learn about it? He said, I found out that guy's again it. And I think when we go to church, we ought to find out the preacher's again it. Amen. I think that's what we ought to find out. Why? Because God's again it. You see, God's against sin, you see. Now, the second thing is that not only were they sinful, and of course that was the first thing, but notice then in verse 1, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them unto the hand of the Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. Now if you notice what comes into play here, first of all, it's because of sin. Okay? That's what got them in trouble. But they begin to talk about the problem of the Midianites. Listen to me. The problem of the Midianites would not have been there if the problem of sin wasn't there. You've got to put things in the right balance. See, we're crying out. We're worrying about all of these sins that's coming in America, and we're worried about the consequences of them. We're going into captivity to sin. We're going into captivity, you see, to the people who don't even believe in God. We're going into captivity. But why? Because of sin. Sin brought it about, you see. And now we're crying about all these things that are happening. We'll talk about those things in a few moments. We're worried about all those things. But the reason they're happening is because of sin. You see, that's why we're under the bondage of the Midianites as they were here. That's why. Why? Because sin's in our life. Sin's in our church. Sin's in America, you see. That is the main problem, you see. Samuel Rideout said, the power of any enemy is put in his hands by the unfaithfulness of God's people. You see, the reason God allows the power of the enemy to overtake the Israelite was because of the unfaithfulness of his people. Amen. So what do we do? Judgment begins at the house of God. What should we do? We as a people must get back to God. We must get to looking at sin the way God looks at it. God hates sin. God despises sin. He's again it, folk. And we've got to get back to looking at that just like God looks at it. And we look around, we see us losing our freedoms. We see abortion as such a great issue, and it's a terrible thing, horrible thing. They tell me now it's up to close since, I think it was 82 or somewhere in there. I may have the dates wrong on that. It might have been back in the 70s, I think. That there has been over 30 million babies aborted in America. Did you know 1.5 million babies aborted every year in America? You want to figure that out, and that's 4,000 a day? While you took a breath today, while we took our naps today, 4,000 on an average. It might not have happened today, but 4,000 as an average were aborted. Awesome. Why are we there? Because the sin of a nation. You see, we can look at all of those things. We can see sodomites walking up and down the streets of America. We see all of this and we wonder, why is this happening when they're being okayed even by the President of the United States? And we say, how can he do such a thing? The reason he can do such a thing is the condition of America. And God gave us a president that don't care about those things. And the reason is, why? Because of sin. And it's the sin of God's people. That's what's caused that to take place. We look at taxes going up, and we say, when's it ever going to stop? I don't know when it's ever going to stop, but the reason high taxes are here is because of sin. If you find out how much money is spent on the result of sin, you'll find out what's going on. Much of the taxes are spent because of sin. And we wonder why all these things are happening, and we get so upset, and we just like, how could this happen to America? Well, it happens to America because it's in the Word of God. It's the principles of the Word of God. It's going to continue to happen in America until we turn back to God. You see, God's not going to give us good leadership when we sin. When you see a child abuse, something, one of the most horrible, sickening sins that you can have, incest is a big thing in America nowadays. When you see such a wicked thing, you say, how could they do that? Because of sin. Because of sin. It's brought the morals of this nation down, you see. And you can look at all of these things. You can look at families breaking up all over America. Why is that happening? Because of sin. Because of our nation has turned from God. And there's only one answer. It's Jesus Christ, Him crucified. That's the answer. That's the only hope for this nation. There is no other hope, you see. You see, we are being in America delivered to the Midianites. Why? Because of evil. That's exactly why Israel was delivered to the Midianites, because of their sin, because of their evil. Now I'm going to take just a few moments, and I'm going to try not to take too long, but if you'll go back with me to the book of Numbers, I want to give you a little bit of understanding of the nation of people. We're not going to probably look at the Ammonites, but we're going to look at the Midianites just for a few moments. But we're going to look at the wickedness of the people whom God chose to raise up and use against Israel. If you'll turn with me over to the book of Numbers, the 25th chapter, please. 25th chapter. And I'll read a few verses. And starting at verse number 1, he says, "And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifice of their gods, and the people did eat and bow down to their gods." Are you listening? Are you hearing what Israel is doing? They are following the gods of the Moabites. And he says, "And Israel joined herself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, Take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel." Now did you hear, and I'm going to stop there for a moment, did you hear about the anger of God? Do you think that God today is not angry over people putting more importance upon the idols of this world than upon God himself? God is the same God. He will never change. He's always the same. And he goes on in verse 5, he says, "And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, Slay ye every one his men, and were joined unto Baal Peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel, and those that died in the plague were 24,000. I'm going to stop reading there. Sometime you ought to read the rest of that and look at it, because it's dealing, they had brought a Midianite person, Midianitish woman in there, into the camp, and Phinehas got up with a javelin and stuck it through both of them. And what we're saying is, if you read on down through the scriptures, you'll find out that the Midianite people were a wicked people. A terrible, wicked people. And yet God raised up the Midianites to come against his people and put them in bondage under the Midianites. Now look at Numbers, the 31st chapter, and we'll read just about three verses. First verse, 31st chapter, Numbers. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Avenge the children of Israel of the Midianites, afterward shalt thou be gathered unto thy people. And Moses spoke unto the people, saying, Arm some of yourselves unto the war, and let them go against the Midianites, and avenge the Lord of Midian." And once again, there's just some scriptures telling us that the Midianite people were a wicked people. And they were after God's people. We don't have time to go through all of that, but back in verse 3 in Judges, the 6th chapter, he mentions not only the Midianites, but the Ammonites. We could go back into the scripture and find the same thing. The Ammonites are a wicked people. And God used these wicked people to raise up against his people and to come into bondage under them. Now I'm saying again, you think that God is still the God of the Israelites and he's still the God of America? And what is happening is that that same God is causing bondage to be brought unto America. You sit around and I sit around and wonder why our freedoms are going down the drain. The reason they're going down the drain is because of sin as a nation. Evil before the Lord. And that's why he says judgment must begin at the house of God. You see, the heathen out there that doesn't believe in God cannot bring this nation back to God. But God's people can. And I say to you, such a shame tonight that all over this nation there is churches that are not even open tonight. You know that there's many multitudes of churches that will not open on Wednesday night. And even if they did try to open, most of the people would not attend. You see, folks, we have walked away from God. I am a church down where I used to live in Fillmore, Indiana. the pastor there, they called a pastor, and I was talking to my sister one day, and we was talking about this, and I said, how many services do you have? And she says, well, we just have Sunday school and morning preaching. She said, that's all we have. And I said, I'd like to ask you a question. I said, what does that preacher do for the rest of the week? And she said, well, if you want to know the truth, he sits over at the cafe and drinks coffee. Now, they did get rid of this guy. But the problem is not just with this guy. The problem is with God's people who wouldn't put up with such a mess as that. You understand? We are to get back to the Lord, you see. I'm thankful for the good crowds we have on Sunday night. It ought to be that way. I think we ought to have better crowds on Sunday night. But I'm thankful for you who's come. I'm thankful for the crowds on Wednesday night. You all ought to be here on Wednesday night. Yes, you should. You ought to be here. But I'm thankful for those who are faithful in the house of God and realize and understand that God is more important than the world. Yes. Amen. So anyway, we find here that that was what was the matter with Israel, you see. They had walked contrary to the word of God. They did evil in according to God's word. And we find them also here being under the bondage of the Midianites. You see, that's going to put anybody in bondage. If we continue to sin, it's going to put us in bondage. You see, some kind of bondage. So we looked a little bit at the wickedness of those who were going to be over God's people. In fact, if I won't go back there, but Judges, the 8th chapter, the 10th verse, you'll find out there was 135,000 Midianites. And Gideon with his 300. And God delivered them. Amen. You see, God was the main one. Amen. God and the 300 of Gideon's band. You see, and they was delivered, you see. So we find in chapter 6 that every year they came up against Israel. You see, Israel, if you notice this in verse number 2, you find Israel hiding in the dens, in the mountains and caves, afraid of the Midianites. Can you imagine God's mighty people hiding in dens and caves, afraid of the Midianites? I think that's what we're doing. I think across this nation, we're more scared of the Midianites than we are God Almighty. We're hiding over in the dens and the caves and won't say a word about God nowhere, afraid somebody might laugh at us. Amen. Boy, wouldn't it be a shame if we'd testify for Jesus? Wouldn't that be awful if we would take the audacity to tell someone that Jesus saves? And we hide in our dens and our caves and do nothing for God whatsoever. We go from week to week and year to year and many times have never told anyone about Jesus Christ, never tried to witness anyone. We ought to say, shame, shame. We ought to come to an altar prayer and cry unto God and say, please forgive me and help me. Do you realize and understand, folks, that those folk that live around you and those folk you have contact with, one of these days if they go to hell, that blood is on your hands? Do you understand that's taught in the scripture over in the book of Ezekiel? You understand? You see, God's not playing games. We hide in the caves and the dens and we're afraid. Here the mighty people of God have the power of God in us and we're afraid to go out and do a work for God. If you notice here what they did, they turned to Baal worship. They gave their substance unto Baal. They was worshiping Baal, and they gave their substance unto Baal instead of God. And now God, through these scriptures here, is going to take all of their substance and give it to the Midianites. Do you understand? Do you realize that Christians all over this land is taking that substance which God has given them and not giving Him back His due, and they're using it in the world for themselves, the Moabites, the Baalism, they're using it for that and not even giving the substance that belongs to God unto Him. All across this land, this is going on. Well, let me tell you something. According to the Bible, one of these days, all of our substance will go into bondage one of these days. And that's what happened here. They took everything they had. Now, we better be giving to God while we have a chance to give to God. We better be getting missionaries on the field. We better be getting the work of God done and getting people saved and doing right while we can do right. Because I'm afraid soon it's all going to be over and our opportunity is going to be closed. And I think then we'll be very, very sorry if we had not done it. You see, the substance that belonged to God. You realize that God has given us health. God has given us wealth. God has given us time. God has given all of that to us. And who do we use it for? Do we use it for the world? Do we pour all of our wealth and our health and our time into the world and give it that substance that God has given us to Him and don't even give God His part? Oh my. I tell you what, folks, we are going to be accountable for that. God gave all of that to us. There's not a person in here who has a job tonight, but what God didn't give you that job. You wouldn't work tomorrow if God didn't give it to you. I wouldn't either. I won't breathe tomorrow if God don't give me a breath. And I owe Him. I'm not trying to buy my salvation. I just owe Him for all He's done for me. And all He asks is me to give my time and give my health when I'm healthy and go out and work for God. And any wealth that He gives me, I ought to give it to Him and make it available unto Him. You see, because what happened here was they did not do that, and the Midianites took over and took everything they had. You see, we wonder sometimes why we're losing our blessings. And we question, why is it, God, that these things are happening? Why is the blessings of God not upon us? Well, did you ever just stop and take some evaluation of your life? Did you ever just look and see what you're doing with your health, your wealth, and your time? Did you just ever stop and look that over and wonder why the blessings of God is not upon your life? Did you ever just stop and look things over? That's what God is trying to get us to do. Look in verse 6. He says, "And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord." They finally got around to it. After 7 years, they finally got around to crying unto the Lord, realizing that they couldn't do anything on them by themselves and that they was going to need God. And of course, what happened was they just cried out to God, you see. They finally got around to prayer after 7 years. Did you know God is able to take any situation in your life today and do something about it? Do you believe that? God is able and wants to. Get down on your knees. Put your heart toward God and cry out and say, "God, I need this. I don't know what to do about my life. I don't know what's happening. I don't know how to handle things. I need You." And cry out to God and ask Him for some answers. Basically, if you look at this thing, the truth of this, I want to take a whole lot more time, but if you look at the truth of this, you know what they was concerned about? They were concerned about the Midianites and the captivity of the Midianites. But you don't find them being concerned about the thing that got them there in the first place, which was sin. And we have a tendency as God's people, we want to cry out about the circumstances that take place because of our sin, the consequences of sin, and we cry out, "Oh, why? Why, God, have You sent the Midianites upon us?" But we forget the reason the Midianites is upon us is because of sin. See, what we got to get back to is we got to get back to realizing God wants us to deal with the sin. He wants us to deal with the sin. When there's sin there, there's going to be a captivity. There's going to be some bondage that comes along with it. Why? Because of the sin, you see. And we've got to preach that. Preachers has got to preach that. If you look in verse number 10, he said, "I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice." What happened basically was simply this. They was in rebellion against God Almighty and His word. They would not believe, they would not do the word of God, and that's why they find themselves in this problem. When John the Baptist came, he came preaching, "Repent or perish," before Jesus came along. He was trying to turn the people's hearts unto God and saying, "You got to repent. You got to get right with God." See, and then of course Christ came along and died upon the cross for our sins. Government lays out billions of dollars in welfare without dealing with the cause of welfare. They dole out billions of dollars in welfare systems, and they don't realize that the cause of those welfare people goes back to the basic thing. Now, I'm not talking about just the people that's on welfare. I'm talking about the system. I'm talking about a people as a nation. The reason this welfare has had to come is because of a nation that's turned away from God. Right. You see, they'll do everything they can to protect you from the alcoholic. They'll put you bags in your steering wheel. Now they've got bags in the side of the car. And they work millions and millions and millions of dollars trying to protect you from a guy that's coming down the road that's a drunkard. You know, why don't they take, and I'm not against them trying to protect us, but I'm going to tell you something. Why don't they take them billions of dollars and work on the problem of alcohol and do away with it? That would end the problem, much of the problem. Let me put it that way. Amen? See, the problem is there. Immorality. We see immorality, terrible immorality going on in this nation today, and we find government programs that pour billions and billions into programs that take care of children that are born out of wedlock and all of these other things, when we need to just get back to morality and get people saved where they won't have these children out of wedlock. That's the answer. You understand what I'm saying? You see, we spend it. And then on plain laziness, there is some people so lazy that they won't do nothing. They don't want to work. They don't want to do anything. They just want somebody to provide for them. I'll tell you what, folks. If I was the president of the United States, that's a lie, isn't it? If I was the president of the United States, I guarantee you those rascals out there that is able to work would work. Amen. Or they wouldn't eat. That's what the scripture says. And they're lazy. Now, I didn't say the folk would have health problems. I didn't say the folk that couldn't help that. There's situations, but you know most of the problem is not that. Most of the problem is downright laziness. They want somebody to support them. And what we need to do is get out and say, I'll tell you what, if you're too lazy to work, then you just starve to death. Why should we give you food when you're so lazy you won't go out and get a job? I don't care if it's flipping hamburgers. I don't care what it is. Do something to work. Amen. Because that's what God wants. See, churches preach a social gospel to get the people out of the slums. And they don't realize that what needs to be preached is we need to get the slum out of the people. You see, we need to be preaching. And you say, well, these people are in slums. Why are they in slums? I'm not talking about everybody. Understand? Why are they in slums? Because they've got slum inside them. They won't come to Christ. They don't want any better. They just want somebody to give and give and give to them. My friend, we need to work. We need to do right, you see. And we need to realize that people need Christ. That's what people need. That's the message we need to give people. Is Jesus Christ the Son of God? That's the answer for this old world, you see. Israel needed to look back and say, why am I in bondage? And they need to come up with the answer. It's because of my sin. And confess it before God Almighty. And the Bible tells us that God will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you know what? Most of the time, folk won't ever come to that place and say, I'm an old sinner. The reason I'm having a lot of my problems is because I'm an old sinner. Now, if I had to qualify this, I probably shouldn't have to. But I want to tell you, God's people who are doing right is going to have problems. Because old Satan's going to see to that. But I'm talking about people who are not even trying to walk with God, and they're walking in evilness, and they don't realize why all these things are happening to them. They won't come back to God, and they won't walk with God. Tell you the answer, folks, is get back on your knees and come to an old altar of repentance. We need to get the people of Jasonville, Indiana and surrounding area, we need to get them an old altar of repentance and crying out to God and say, God, it's my fault the reason I'm here. It's my fault. And I want you to forgive me and cleanse me and give me eternal life. You see, that's the answer. That's the answer. The message of Jesus Christ, the gospel, is the answer.